Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Call free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, glad you're with us this afternoon. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Radio Network. 2 days away from Kelly Sanders' feelings being crushed by the Tennessee Titans.
Well, we hope that's not the case, but you're probably right, Bob.
Yeah, their running back is coming back, Kelly. You do realize that.
And I hate it for him. He's in for a long day.
I bet he's worried sick.
Trembling. I can see him from here.
Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of the Eagle Hour, Southern Miss Athletics. And we're always glad to promote them as a great place for you to take your family to eat. And as Kelly can testify, a great place to cater your holiday meals and other occasions.
Yeah, it's a lot of stress when you have holiday meals and stuff, making sure everybody gets fed. Man, just let Dickie's take care of it. And yeah, of course you're going to pay for the food, but what is peace of mind worth, right? Just to be able to sit back and relax and enjoy company.
We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg this afternoon. Bob, Kelly, and Luke, the full gang is here on a cold and rainy afternoon here in South Mississippi. Glad you're with us. Whether you're tuned in on one of our affiliates or online, hopefully if you catch us later on a podcast, welcome to the Eagle Hour. John Miller is our guest today. John was the director of football operations for the Southern Miss football program from 1998 through 2011 and a graduate assistant from 94 to 98. He worked for both Jeff Bauer and Larry Fedora. And John, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on.
Glad to be on, guys.
All right, before we get into we hear you have some great stories, but before we get into that, for people that may not know, give us kind of a rundown of what a director of football operations does.
Well, it's kind of a task. The tasks are a little bit of everything has to do with off the field. That's from financial aid to housing to the well-being of the players and the team travel, I mean, recruiting, it's a little bit of everything. So, and the management of the assistant coaches and the head coach.
And what led you to Southern Miss? How did you get started there?
Well, my brother was a graduate of Southern Miss, and he's a longtime United States custom agent in Chicago. And so, kind of was a family deal, and I just followed his footsteps and came in. And I'd coached a little high school ball. I went back and coached high school ball when I graduated at Clinton High School under David Bradbury. And as on a recruiting visit, Southern Miss was there recruiting, and John Thompson was recruiting one of our players, and he had talked me into coming down and being a graduate assistant. And so I was a graduate assistant under John Thompson and Dave Womack back in the 90s era when we were really rolling and just really stayed connected with those guys and was mentored by a guy named Thamus Coleman as a director of football operations. Unfortunately, Coach got sick, and I followed in the footsteps of him with the leadership of Jeff Bauer.
And it's not unusual, Coach Miller, that a lot of football, the football fraternity in Mississippi, lots of times will shift from one of the big three to the other. I mean, Jim Carmody's been a head coach at Southern Miss. He's been a defensive coordinator, you know, at Mississippi State, even did a stint at
the other schools.
Oh, the other schools. Sorry. So they've and that's not unusual for a lot of the coaches in the state of Mississippi to rotate. So what led you then from Hattiesburg to Oxford to that school up north?
Well, it kind of goes back to what you were talking about, Kelly. I mean, Dave Womack's the defensive coordinator. at that school up north, as you would say. And and he told Coach Hugh Freeze about me and my connections in the state of Mississippi. Coach Freeze, also a Southern Miss graduate, called me. I went up for two interviews, and then the rest of the story, I wound up making an 11-year stint there.
And you really worked with some of the most iconic names in that we've heard. And the people, the names you're throwing out, really some of the iconic names in Mississippi college football history.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. You know, it started, like I said, with Jeff Bauer. I mean, when you talk about Coach Bauer and what he instilled in me and a lot of successful coaches that came through there, like John Thompson, Tyrone Nix, Derek Nix, and people that's really made their way through college football, it started really with Jeff Bauer. And I could never thank him enough for what he instilled in us and how to maneuver through this business.
It is interesting how things happen, though, because now Kane Womack, who was Dave Womack's son, Dave Womack, former Southern Miss defensive coordinator, now Kane is the head coach at South Alabama in the Sun Belt, which probably sooner rather than later will be a new nemesis for Southern Miss. And John, you're kind of pleasantly surprised that fortune had smiled upon Kane Womack.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so proud of Kane. He's really done it the hard way. He came up as a GA. He grinded it out. You know, I kind of like you, Kelly. I remember Kane being a little league baseball player here in Hattiesburg and kind of came up through the ranks. I walked out at the Outback Bowl a year ago, and Kane Womack's the defensive coordinator at Indiana. And that was kind of a strange deal to look over the other sideline and see Kane Womack. But it's couldn't be more proud of him. What a great family they have.
Luke, get in here. John Miller.
Coach Miller, Luke Johnson, good to talk to you, sir. You gave me many a room key, oversaw many a Chick-fil-A sandwich distribution, and where I think there was even one time, it may have been at a Bama game, you were like technically our position coach for that game. So man, there was some great years, Coach Miller, and man, thanks for coming on the Eagle Hour today. I guess I'll, looking back on it, and the statute of limitations has run out, so we can talk honestly and openly about this. The part of, you know, dealing with guys day in and day out, and like you said, you know, managing everything. I know sometimes there were times that me and other dudes just drove you insane. And I guess looking back on it, that's part of the fun of interacting with 18 to 22-year-olds.
No doubt. I mean, I've got a list of stories, and that one that sticks to mind, and you'll remember this. You know, people didn't like their roommate at times in Van Hall back in the day, and we had cut a deal that with T.J. Slaughter that he would be the only player on the team to have his own room. And if you guys remember T.J. Slaughter, he wasn't the easiest guy to get along with, and I'd always say, if you don't like your roommate, it's no problem. You can move in with T.J. Slaughter. Somehow, overnight, those roommates got back connected, and they turned out to be best friends.
That's great.
It happens. And you see, Coach Miller was a slick guy, too. I'll tell him this because I told you other guys. You know, he'd always be out there at practice, and we'd walk on the field, and he'd walk around and strengthen, you know, stretching and pre. And then probably like by period five on some days, you'd look around and he wouldn't be there anymore. And then we would leave the practice field and we'd go over to the rock for you know, our kicking stuff. And you know, about 45 minutes later, you'd see this little plane flying over the rock, and you'd be like, "There's Miller, there he is, right there." That's true, Coach. Right? You did that occasionally.
No doubt. I had to look at it from a lot of different angles, Luke.
Coach, I want to ask you about the toughest, because when you work with people closely like this, you obviously become friends at many different levels. What's the toughest thing that you had to deal with on a wearing the professional hat that you felt might affect your personal hat?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is I think that people respect you when you're able to tell them the truth. And, you know, throughout my 28 years of doing this is, you know, I've had to talk to some of the guys that we named earlier in the coaching business, and I just said, hey, this is not going to work. Your personal life is affecting your professional life and vice versa. And you know, it was kind of an accountability group, you know, and I was fortunate enough to have people that would call me out at times. And so it was, it's that's why this place is so special to me, because you know, I'm at the Sugar Bowl coaching 2 weeks ago at the Sugar Bowl, and a guy comes in my suite at the hotel and spends 4 hours in this Tyrone mix. And we just laughed and cut up and talked 100% Southern Miss football for 4 hours. And it was I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no question about it. We're going to hold you over, Mr. Miller, if you're good with that. We know you've probably got a lot of great stories for your, you know, from your time with Coach Bauer and Coach Fedora, both of which we've had on this show on several occasions. I've got about 20 seconds left before we get into the break, but be thinking about this. If you could describe the difference there was in working for Jeff Bauer and Larry Fedora, because from a fan standpoint, they seem to be pretty much opposite of one another. So we're going to continue our conversation with John Miller, the former director of football operations at Southern Miss, recently retired from Ole Miss. We were kidding, of course, about the school up north, and enjoying our conversation with him, and we'll continue that on the other side of the break. Real quick reminder, Patrick McGee from NOLA.com will be on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. Melissa Socher will give us a Corky Palmer raffle update. Always fun having her on the show. But more from John Miller. Great conversation on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Glad you're with us on a cold Thursday afternoon, wherever you're tuned in this afternoon. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and CampusBookmart.net. They've got, as you hear us say every day, well, it's true, the biggest selection of Southern Miss apparel anywhere on the planet, the greatest manager in the world, and Miss Kathleen. You can shop them 6 days a week on Hardy Street. You can shop them online at campusbookmart.net. But the next time you decide to buy some Southern Miss swag, you make sure that you buy it, please, from Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. We're talking to John Miller, who was the director of football operations for Southern Miss from 1998 through 2011. Coach, I know the guys have a lot of questions for you. One I wanted to hear your comment on is you worked for the legendary Jeff Bauer. You were here during the transition from Coach Bauer to Coach Fedora. Both guys been on the show numerous times. We find them, I think their football philosophy was opposite almost, and certainly their personalities are a lot different. What was the difference, if you could describe to our listeners, between working for Coach Bauer and Coach Fedora?
Coach Bauer is just, you know, he's a nuts and bolts guy. He's highly, highly organized. He understood Southern Miss from the academic side all the way. He, you know, he played here, his love here, and he gave an astronomical amount of his personal money to the school. And he just had a love for this place that was second to none. He loved the players. He was very honest with them. He was a second chance guy. He was, you know, I can't say enough great things about Coach Bauer. I still talk to him today. And stay in contact with him. He's got so much knowledge. I mean, he was on the College Football Playoff Committee. I mean, and you just talk to the people that's on there with him of the amount of preparation he put in that. I mean, that's just who he is. I mean, he's a nuts and bolts guy and highly, highly organized. Larry Fedora is probably the new era of football coaches, a little bit more flamboyant, wants to throw it all over the yard a little bit more. And I'm not sure Coach wouldn't do that in today's world, but just because the game's changed in the last 4 or 5 years. But it's, you know, Coach Fedora, you know, did a phenomenal job as well. And I talked to Coach Fedora about a week ago on a player out of Texas. And So both of them were totally different. You got that exactly right, but both of them were good in their own way.
And speaking of new era of coaches, Coach Miller, Will Hall would certainly fit that bill. I would think you've had a chance to talk with Will Hall. In fact, some in-depth conversations. Give us your skilled eye taking a look at Coach Hall. What do you think he is ready to do at Southern Miss?
Well, Will Hall is kind of funny that you ask. When they made the change with Jay Hobson, Rick Cleveland sent me a text and says, who do we need to get at Southern Miss? And I said, Will Hall. And that was on day one. I didn't have any connections of getting Will Hall hired. He got himself hired. But I didn't know Will on a personal level at the time. I knew him on a professional level. We had interviewed him as an offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. I was highly impressed with him. But I just knew he was going to get back into the high schools of Mississippi. I knew he was going to have the nucleus of the team from the Mississippi and down here in the Pine Belt. And I knew that with his dad, he knew how to win. And I just thought that we needed to get back to our nuts and bolts and go back to blue collar like back, when Coach Bauer was here and get our identity back. And I think that's what he brings back. I was retired for 2 days, and he gave me the call and said, I hear you're in Hattiesburg. Can you come by the office? And about 30 minutes, he was trying to hire me. I said, I don't want to get paid because then you'll be telling me what to do. So, but I'm a big Will Hall fan. And I think Will Hall will do a phenomenal job. I couldn't be more excited for Will. I think he's a year or two away from getting this. The nucleus of the team is now all from Mississippi. You're seeing the two guys up north. They're recruiting a little bit broader than Mississippi, which really helps Will in a lot of ways. So I think that it's, I'm excited about it. I think Southern Miss, you're going to see a big change this year. In 2 years, he's going to have this thing headed back to where it needs to be. And him and I have had long talks at night about it. He wants to get this thing going as bad as anybody in the world, and that's about 90% of it. I mean, this guy's a worker, and he's a grinder, and he understands these Mississippi kids. In certain areas in Mississippi, when you cross over 61 Highway in the Delta, you've got to be able to understand that some of those guys are not quite as developed as you would like to see on the front end, but what they can be in 2 or 3 years. We've made a living up there. When Coach Bauer was here, just because we understood that a lot of them, the weight program wasn't that good. Sometimes, they wasn't getting 3 meals a day. And then in 2 or 3 years, we had a 4-star player getting ready to go play in the National Football League. And Will understands all that. And so I think that's where he's got a jump on 90% of the people that you could go hire to come in here and get this thing fixed. And I'm excited about Will Hall. I think he's the right guy at the right time.
Luke?
Coach, just to kind of zoom out a little bit and go back to some of your time, I would think that probably one of the most challenging times for you as a football operations guy was the 2005 season, my senior year, when we had to relocate, got a game canceled, had to relocate to Memphis to prep for Alabama. And most of the time, you've already done all your groundwork. You've, booked all this stuff, hotels, and like months in advance. And then all of a sudden, Katrina wrecked it all. Was that probably one of the most challenging times for you as an operations guy?
Luke, in 29 years, if I was going to write a book on my career, that'd be chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. That was the most challenging time of my life. I had my wife and kids cooking hot dogs in Van Hall front lawn. I had a four-wheeler that went and picked Coach Bauer up at his house. I took a private airplane to Memphis and found us a hotel room. I found about 6 or 8 buses. I called in all the equipment managers, Pat Stewart's people, Jim Gillespie, Todd McCall, and all those people. And I said, if you're a trainer today, you're equipment manager. And if you're equipment manager, you may be a trainer by the nighttime. And if you remember, Luke, we stopped at that Western Sizzler on 55 Highway. And yep. I think we ate more food than has ever been eaten in the city of Jackson that day. But yeah, we went up there and it was, and Tommy West was the head coach at Memphis, and he couldn't have been any nicer to let us use their cafeteria. But time we got to Tuscaloosa, we were some tired people. So, but that was a tough 2 weeks. But we got it done, and I couldn't. I always remember the players. The attitude they kept through that was unbelievable. I mean, there was just we just took one day at a time and we pushed through it.
To further comment on that, those hot dogs on the front of Van Hall, they were really good. So I wanted to compliment you publicly on that. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I had Doc Roberts at Corner Market going in the back door getting the hot dogs for me. They wasn't even open.
But you know, you look back at times like that, and that was where. You know, where Southern Miss being a family really shone out. I mean, we understood the concept of family before then, but like I remember at that Western Sizzling stop, those dudes from New Orleans, like, man, that's my grandma's house. Like, we were watching, you know, the news. But I mean, you look back, there was times like that that really the family was forged even more in the Southern Miss football program.
I think, and I hadn't been able to replace that, Luke, to be honest with you. We've got some players that you played with that lost their house in the second hurricane, and they call me, you know, I'm at Ole Miss, they're down outside of Baton Rouge, they've lost their home, they've got a small kid. I called Coach Bauer, I called Tyrone Nix, I called Dave Womack, and we just piled the money up and sent it down there and got them back going again. And that's what Southern Miss is about, is people helping people, and that's kind of what's drawn me back here. And well, after the Sugar Bowl, I walked up. I was in Hattiesburg and walked out to the Hattiesburg Country Club. I said, the air even smells better here some days, you know.
Coach, we've just got a minute left, but I want you to comment on that. You had a great career here. You went on to have a great career at Ole Miss. But when it came time to retire, you moved back to Hattiesburg. And what I hear in your voice, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is you're a Golden Eagle. You love the history. You love the community. You love the university.
I do. I mean, I graduated from here. Both my kids went to school there, and I mean, it's who I am, you know. And then I get on that airplane, I'd be leaving Texas A&M or Auburn in the middle of the night, and I'm going to turn that phone on. I'm going to find out what the score is of Southern Miss, and I mean, it's just where I graduated from. It's my school, and I'm glad to be back here. I'm not, you know, looking to get too involved. I'll help Will any way I can, but I just want to be a fan, and I just want to support him any way I can, and if that's financially, that's financially, and if that's just being at the game, it's being at the game. So I'll do whatever I got to do, but I'm excited about being back.
And actually, John won't be too far away from Coach Bauer, as it turns out, because both of them are now building out in rural Lamar County there. So good for you.
Let us say welcome back home. We're glad to have you back. We appreciate you being on the show, and it's good to have you back home, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Luke, great talking to you, bud.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Coach.
John Miller, former director of football operations, once a Golden Eagle center, always a Golden Eagle. It doesn't matter where you go.
And even though we normally close the show this way, it's always appropriate. To the top.
There we go. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Great interview with John Miller, and we thank him for coming on the Eagle Hour this afternoon. And what great stories and memories. When you bring these guys that are so tied to the history of the football program, it's always fascinating and fun to talk to them because it is such a proud program. And unfortunately, I think some of the younger fans don't realize just how proud and magnificent it was in its day. And hopefully, we've got the coaching staff here now that's going to get us back to that level. 4th Street Bar Grill sponsors this segment of our program, and we sure thank a lot of those guys. $8.95 plate lunch every day, great food all night long. Guarantee you the playoff games will be on all weekend. It'll just be a great atmosphere for you to enjoy the NFL playoffs. I'm sure a lot of college hoops are being played on the big TVs down there every night. So if you want a good drink, a good meal, and to just have some sports bar fun, we strongly recommend 4th Street Bar and Grill. Want to let you know real quickly, we said yesterday afternoon that the three of us would be the honorary coaches at the women's basketball game. Our head coach, our beloved head coach, is a little under the weather. She's not going to be coaching there Saturday. And so we're going to postpone our engagement. I can't, you know, it's none of my business, but I do want to say that it's not related to her struggles with cancer. I think that came out really well, we're happy to say. So, but Coach McDowell will be back real soon, and the virus just continues to rear its ugly head.
Actually, what happened was when that announcement was made, she regretted it so much she started feeling bad.
She said she couldn't.
Bad.
Yeah, she couldn't. Yeah. Made her sick. The more she thought about what she had done, she just fell ill and said, "I'm going to be too ill to."
We're sorry, Coach. We apologize. We take responsibility for that.
Well, there is some other news breaking today out of the Sun Belt. One of the current members of the Sun Belt officially departing as of tomorrow. It's being reported that the Texas State Board of Regents is going to approve tomorrow UT Arlington, which has been a basketball-only member of the Sun Belt. UT Arlington officially heading to the WAC as of tomorrow. And Luke Johnson, that's really no surprise. It's not a surprise they're leaving. It's just a surprise as to perhaps where they wound up, because there was no word anywhere where UT Arlington was going.
Yeah, I mean, you knew they were on the way out, and that was kind of all the puzzle pieces that fit with, you know, the four new schools coming into the Sun Belt, because ultimately they want to be at, you know, they want to be at that number of 14. So, yeah, you knew that Arlington and Little Rock, something had to happen, and you started hearing that it was going to happen. So now, at least with Arlington, it's pretty apparent they're on their way out. And I think, Kelly, again, this benefits and further shows that the Eagles are probably going to be in Sun Belt, you know, come July of this year.
And we think that vote is taking place, according to sources, on January 25th. This is January 20th. The January 25th vote we're talking about is not a Southern Miss vote, but rather the athletic directors of the Sun Belt and the directors of the Sun Belt to, you know, make room, so to speak, for those four new schools to come in. James Madison has already made it official that they're coming, so you can't imagine as to why the other schools would not be on the move. Other headlines, Frank Gore Jr. of the Southern Miss football team, taking advantage of the name, image, and likeness potentials out there, inking a $40,000 deal today. Now, again, he's Frank Gore Jr. Frank Gore Sr. has made a pretty good wage.
Nice.
In the National Football League in the 20 years practically that he's been playing. So you wouldn't think necessarily that he needs it. And perhaps his name certainly helps, you know, being.
It didn't hurt.
No, it did not hurt gaining that.
Is that name, image, likeness, is that for football or is that for the recruiting he does for Southern Miss on social media? Because I think he's deserving of an entire new NIL deal because of all the recruiting that he does for us.
Yeah, and that name alone draws a lot of people's attention, you know, and it's all kind of interconnected, but good for him. You know, good for him. So, and there's another reason why it's important is because if athletes who are entertaining signing at Southern Miss, they can't say, well, you can't get an image and likeness deal in Hattiesburg. That's just, well, it's already happened.
I think it's his second, actually.
His second.
I think so.
So, but it is good that it makes it possible, you know, for other athletes to break that ground, and we'll see, you know, what happens along the way. Your reaction, Luke, to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, you know, if it's allowed, and it would have been nice. You know, back in the day, had we got that, I would have never have gotten anything as a punter. But, you know, we would, my teammates would have been able to take me to dinner in a few places. So I would have used that. And I'm sure Frank's been hit up for a couple things. But yeah, I mean, it's a new day. It's going to be here. I do think, and I don't want to go into this. I'm just going to comment this because I've been throwing it around with some guys. You know, it's basically like free agency without a salary cap. And so they're going to have to nuance
That's
it a little
exactly
bit.
Right.
Because it's the way it is now, it's the Wild West. And so it's kind of inevitable that it would happen that way to start with. But you feel like, especially because, you know, Deion is going to play the game back on the big guys. And you feel like, you know, there's going to be some reining in of this just a little bit.
Right. You know, looking back, T.J. Slaughter would have gotten a lot of them, Kelly, because he'd have gone to the business people and said, you will give me the deal or I will break off your nose and cram it down your throat. And yeah. They would have said, okay, T.J., okay, what would you like?
He was a heck of a player, wasn't he? Yeah. You know, played for the Jaguars.
He was a man. That's what he was.
And when T.J. Slaughter came in the room, too, I mean, he wore the blue contacts, the sky blue, so yeah. His eyes kind of looked menacing. But I saw him come to a game at Green Bay that the players were showing up, and he had on, and I think it was a floor-length Fox coat.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a dude now, let me tell you.
He was a man.
And people go, man, he was so cocky. I'm going, it's not cocky if you can back it up.
He's not cocky. He's T.J. Slaughter. If you think he's cocky, go tell him.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. See what his reaction, you know, would be.
You didn't play with him, did you, Luke?
I didn't, but I heard stories. So, like, particularly, so just and Miller would have affirmed this too. So think if you would, like, pregame meals. We ate pregame meal in several different places. Sometimes we ate it downstairs at the Commons. Sometimes we would eat it at the Hattiesburg Country Club, you know, and then on the road we would eat it in these banquet rooms in these hotels. So when I played, like, you didn't say anything. You didn't even, like, sigh or breathe loudly during pregame meal. Because there was, like, a rumor that floated around. One time somebody's fork hit a plate. So you're using, a nice plate and legitimate silverware and not plastic stuff. And somebody's, like, fork hit a plate too loud a couple times. And the urban legend was that TJ got up, walked across the room, and just told this guy he wasn't ready to play as only TJ could. And so it kind of, you know, by the time TJ went on the team when I played, but it was just kind of like this, we don't say anything. Somebody's going to come out of the corner
he
and
may
get
show
us.
Up.
And it was, you know, it was like TJ may show back up to do that. But yeah, he was a dude, man.
Yeah, no question.
The Golden Eagle basketball team, victorious.
Well, we need to talk about that last night. They won a game 100-50. Kelly?
Southeastern Baptist College out of Laurel, and I know, you know, I think Luke calls them the keyboard warriors, some of them, you know, trashing.
Oh, they were full of themselves last night.
Oh, why would you play a team like that? Why would you get, well, again, the as Coach Rowan explained yesterday, it was important for the guys to get some reps in, so to speak, and I think Duke was busy. So I think a lot of other
State Warriors had a game.
They
already
did. Yeah, I mean, it's just not that easy to get on the phone and call somebody, you know, with 2 or 3 days notice and say, hey, come play us.
Yeah.
So look, the Eagles knew that they were the class of the two teams last night. That's really not what it was about. It was just to get some kinks worked out. And let's face it, the Eagles, they need to get some wins. And yeah. So if they could, you know, have a game like that to where they can work some things out and yet not have the outcome in jeopardy. Perfect time to do it. It's not going to strengthen the RPI. That's not what any of this was about. And they hit the road again, you know, to Middle Tennessee. So,
but last night, I mean, 12 guys played. Eagles shot 58% from the floor. 3-point, you wish it had been a little higher. It was a 27%. They shot 73% from the free throw line. But Tyler Stevenson, I was actually listening when it happened. I mean, he went over the 1,000-point mark. I mentioned yesterday, only the 17th player to have 1,000 points and 500 rebounds. But this is pretty cool. He tied Randolph Keys and Casey Fisher as the 23rd fastest player to reach 1,000 points. So there's actually, I think it's somewhere in the high 30s, 38, 39 that have actually reached 1,000. He's got 1,000 and 500 rebounds. But that's pretty cool. I mean, that kind of puts Tyler Stevenson as a scorer where he kind of lands with points. I mean, tying Fisher and Keys at, you know, as the same journey time-wise to reach that
goal. Maybe we should get a photo of him and put it right beside the NIT poster at 4th Street Bar and Grill, Luke.
His shorts will be significantly longer.
Yeah, dress him up in the shorts from back then. It would just be amazing.
Those guys, the Fab Four, they take so much abuse.
About their shorts.
Yeah. And let me tell you, no matter what type of abuse they would take, Casey Fisher in like 3 years gave more than what he will get back in the next 50. So anyway,
he could
give it. Anyway, last night, DeAndre Pinkney, 14 points. And Jerron Pierre Jr., 15 points, along with Tyler Stevenson, who went 29 points and 6 rebounds.
We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. We'll be back with the final segment of the Eagle Hour right after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a chilly, chilly Thursday brought to you by D-Bat and D-1 Training in Hattiesburg, official home of the Luke Johnson 5.2 40-yard dash, and happy to have them along on the Eagle Hour. Luke, Bob, and Kelly live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob actually had a conniption fit during the break, and he may not speak for the rest of the show without laughing. But Getty, are you okay?
Thanks.
We have entirely too much fun on this show.
Skinner is a sick. I'll just let you fill in the
just
rest. There, of
just so people know, there's sometimes, and I'm thankful that I am 30 miles away because I just will go silent during the commercial breaks. I won't say anything because if. Yeah, it's just we'll leave it there. Anyway, Golden Eagles improved to 6-11 last night after a 100-50 victory over Southeastern Baptist. They will take on Middle Tennessee this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock up in Murfreesboro. Of course, you can catch John Cox on the call on the Southern Miss Radio Sports Network. All right, Eagle Hour. As Bob mentioned earlier in the show, we are in podcast form. You may be listening to us live on a Super Talk Mississippi affiliate. Appreciate you doing that. But you can also catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on demand anytime, supertalk.fm. If you missed the earlier part of the show, former Southern Miss football director of operations, John Miller, joined us for the first two segments. Good interview reminiscing with him. All right, Getty, I think I have allowed you
I have my composure, normal. But we're a week from tomorrow, we're going to be at Ramey Motors down in Purvis, and it'll be our first appearance of the year. We go down there once a month, always look forward to that. And, you know, sometimes we can never say thank you enough. I just want to do a shout out to one of our newest sponsors who has just renewed with us. Robert Goss is a financial advisor with Edward Jones, and he has an agency here on Lincoln Road. Robert is a lifetime alumni member at Southern Miss, a season ticket holder in multiple sports, a huge contributor to the Eagle Club, and we're always happy to have people from our Southern Miss family join us on the Eagle Hour. So I just want to say thank you to Robert Goss, and need some financial advice, that would be the guy to go see. So we'll look forward to being back down in Purvis. Who's that then? That's the greatest baseball player in the history of Purvis High School, Dakota?
Just ask him. Dakota Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, baseball, not too far away. Obviously, the high school, the junior colleges usually start a week or two before the colleges. And here we are now as the calendar switches to January 20th. That's getting closer, obviously, to February. I know some of the softball teams will start at the college level the first two or three days of February. So we are as short as maybe 10 to 13 days away from spring sports.
Let me ask you this question, Luke. We're used to it. We never get love. We earn our love at Southern Miss. But how is it that a publication that writes so favorably about Southern Miss baseball as D1 does, the Southern Miss finishes in the top 25. They're like a hit away from being in the Super Regionals, really battled Ole Miss, beat Florida State, beat Ole Miss in the same day, took Ole Miss right down, you know, right down to the last out. And Ole Miss, of course, is a quality program. How are they not in the top 25?
I think it's because even though those guys there know what is on the roster, key pieces of the roster that they're going to depend on this year are unproven. So, for instance, you lose Trimble, you lose Powell, you lose Stanley, and so you lose, you know, two-thirds of your rotation. And, yeah, they wrote glaring reviews about Waldrop and Stewart and some of these guys. I just I think they're going to want to – they're not going to peg or rank people based off of what could be. I will tell you this. Dallas Baptist is like 22 in that poll. And mm-hmm. if you will go and look at how many opponents the Eagles are playing in like the first 20 games, it's exciting. And I think to your point, that's what's going to allow Southern Miss to be ranked quicker than later simply because of what we've got and who we're going to play early.
Make no mistake, Dallas Baptist is the real deal. They have the most awesome. Have you guys seen the video promoting Dallas Baptist baseball? It's incredible. It is an incredible production. Have you seen it, Luke?
I have not. I've heard about it, but I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, so that's a, boy, talk about a tough weekend. Oof, that's
going to be fun. Couple more things on baseball. So the LED lights are installed, and you can drive by there, of course, if they're practicing at night. But you, if you go on Southern Miss baseball, I think it was the official baseball Twitter. If not, you can just search it on Google. But anyway, the lights are up. And we want to wish assistant coach Travis Creel happy birthday, coach. Happy birthday. Make Oz and Coach Barry get you some good food today. Happy birthday,
you
Travis.
You were talking about those lights. By the way, I was talking to Big Dave over at Southern Miss and the physical plant, and they handle the installation of all those. And they said those lights, they can flicker and flash, and they can, you know, do all kinds of patterns with them. So, like, if they had a Mardi Gras parade, they could flash gold and purple and,
yeah,
you know,
be cool.
Different colors, yeah.
And so when you throw out the first pitch, Kelly, what are they going to do?
I don't know. But somebody better head for the hills. They better make sure that screen is up tight behind home plate.
And we will be broadcasting live from the Pete on opening day, February 18th. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to tomorrow. We'll be back at 1 o'clock. We hope you'll join us. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.